The University of Detroit Mercy presents a special edition of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. Today's edition of the show was recorded before a live audience at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols Campus Library.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
It is great to be back with all of you.
It is so great to have you here back with all of us. How are things been going, Beth?
Fine.
Good.
Actually fine, yeah.
I'm very glad to hear it. You're still recovering from a lot of things that physically you went through in the last year. And you walked across campus just a minute ago like it was nothing. That's all I got to say.
Well, we call this spring where I come from.
Yeah. This is nothing.
In fact, I'm not kidding you, I was walking into my cardiac rehab class once and it was raining and I didn't have a coat, right, as is typical for me. And this guy goes, "Young lady, where's your coat?" And I said, "I'm from Oregon. We call this a nice spring day where I'm from." "Oh, okay."
Well, we call it rained out first day of baseball season
first
here.
First time in 110 years or something?
No, 79, it was snowed out.
Okay.
I heard that on the radio in today.
That's what happens when it starts so early.
Yeah.
This is a very early...
It is.
Isn't it the earliest in...
Well, given how many games they play, they have to start early.
Yeah, exactly. Well... Whether it be opening day or otherwise, Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies still looks pretty sharp in purple today.
And Jim is the color of spring crocuses.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Spring crocuses. Well, I'm glad I know I'm good for something.
You're good for many things.
Wait, let's skip real quick over to Heather.
What?
Have you planted all of your annuals?
No.
No. Oh,
no.
I don't know.
No, it's too early.
Too early?
Mother's Day.
Okay.
Might get frozen before that.
Got it.
But my crocuses are coming up.
Okay.
And they do look like Jim's tie.
Got it.
Yes.
Like Jim's tie coming right out of the ground.
So they're striped?
Yeah, actually, some of them are kind of striped, purple and white.
Jim, have you been leaving your laundry over at Heather's house that we don't know about?
Not neckties.
Oh, okay.
Continuing around the table.
Other items.
Dave Chow is here from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Thanks for coming, Dave.
I'm glad my attendance is still sterling for now.
Absolutely.
I was going to call in the Roy Finkenbein, call him off the bench to help me out last week, but I'm thankful I didn't have to.
Oh, there are
all kinds of things sterling about you, Dave.
Well, I'm still mentally counting cards at the Bellagio right about now.
Oh, my. So how'd you come out on top?
A little.
Okay.
But, you know, it was there for more for sightseeing and family.
Well, did you get to see the fountain show with the music?
Yes.
Yeah, that's nice.
Mind you, my wife has never been to Vegas. I have,
I haven't either.
It's an experience.
It's a thing.
Yeah, so it's a colonoscopy.
Oh, I love going to the top of the stratosphere for cocktails
and
at
Vegas
sundown.
Is an iconically American experience.
It is.
I'd have to say so.
Yeah.
Did you go to the Detroit-themed bar that's been there?
I saw that.
Okay.
It was, I don't know if you know, but it's on Fremont.
Right.
Well, of course, I didn't get to Fremont until like 11 o'clock, and needless to say, there were some sights, that's all. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
There's enough light to keep you awake all night.
Well, and you guys know my sleep habits, the lack thereof.
Lack thereof, that's right.
It was interesting.
Congratulations, by the way, before I forget. You made both Joel McHale's new show and, what was it? It was Conan O'Brien's show last week. It's kind of a big deal. 2 weeks ago, Dave drew a picture on the show that he's on, The Dead Files, and it became a little bit of a running joke on the internet for a while there. So, yeah.
Cool.
No, it's actually rehashed again.
Right.
I guess he's using the Pizza Ghost guy as a regular now, so I'm good with that.
Well, who better to be a running joke on
than me? You know, I mean,
ow!
No, that's not right.
It's not him. It's his drawing.
My drawing is based upon somebody else's request, so I'm just the set of hands. I take nothing personally.
And you fulfill them well.
Darn right.
It's not like Zombie Beth is out there, you know.
Yet.
Right.
Right.
Last but most certainly not least, Do you have any flowers that are coming up that are red, like the sweater you're wearing? It's Professor Heather Hill-Vasquez from English.
No, the only thing that's up right now that's blossoming are the crocuses.
Just the crocuses.
Or the crocusi.
There are some daffodils over by the biology building.
I know. Those were up like last month.
Yes, they were.
It's a little early, I think.
The birds have been back for a few weeks, and they're very, very confused.
Speaking of biology, I had somebody send me their CV the other day and tell me that they were really interested in teaching my department. So I opened the CV, and she's in her letter, she says, I'm working in so-and-so's lab. I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. I opened the CV. This person's clearly a biologist. And I said, I think you didn't mean to send this to me.
You're in the wrong
I'm
department. Yeah.
Chair of philosophy. Would you like me to send this to our chair of biology or tell you her email address?
Oh, yeah. Should have clicked on physiology. Clicked on philosophy.
Oh, oh geez.
Okay.
Spelling. So Stephanie got a new CV out of that.
Okay. I don't quite know what to say about the letter P there, but the P is silent. What can I say?
Oh, P covers a multitude of sins in the alphabet, yes.
Well, they both start with PH.
That's true. That's true. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you can win a prize like an ATP mug and an autographed photograph. If you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize like an autographed photograph. Send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. When last we had the Super Friends together, we were looking at some questions by the inimitable Kimberly Richards, who always gives us lots of backup information about each question. Let's see. Which film earned Robin Williams his only Academy Award was the last question we had. He was Best Supporting Actor for Sean McGuire in Good Will Hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Been nominated for Good Morning Vietnam, Dead Poets Society, and Fisher King, but never actually won for those nominations.
Should have won for Good Morning Vietnam.
Probably should have, yes, yes.
And he was never nominated for, was it Awakenings?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Huh. Okay, all right.
And, well, it does say, actually, because Kimberly Richards is the absolute queen of giving us backup info. There were 2 Emmys, 1, 4 Golden Globes, and 2 SAG Awards, and 5 Grammys. So who knows how that could have fit into Awakenings or anything else that Robin Williams would have done.
That's the one where he played Oliver Sacks,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The man who mistook his wife for a hat. Ooh, speaking of gear shifts, which 2 National Hockey League teams started in Atlanta, Georgia, but now call Canada home?
The Flames and the Thrashers.
The Flames and, well, they became the Jets when they moved back to Winnipeg. Yeah. But yes. Calgary Flames were the Atlanta Flames for 8 seasons, and the Jets were the Atlanta Thrashers for 11 seasons. That's right.
Yeah, all that melting ice in Georgia just doesn't work.
They just don't get it, you know?
You know, I have no problem with Atlanta hosting a team because back when I was growing up, it was, oh, we're moving the North Stars to Dallas, but that actually took off. They love their hockey.
They love
down
it down there.
So who knows?
Crazy hockey fans.
If your luggage is tagged with the code CDG, what city are you flying to?
Charles de Gaulle in Paris.
Yes, Paris. Charles de Gaulle Airport is one of the world's principal aviation centers, CENTRES.
Of course.
See what I did there?
When part of its terminal is not caving in, yes.
Oh, my gosh. The airport serves as the principal hub for Air France. Very well done. How many bone fractures did daredevil motorcyclist Evel Knievel suffer during his perilous career, his whole career?
372.
372 is higher.
Oh.
Okay, it's higher than 372?
It's higher than 372.
249.
It's Kendra S.
It's higher than that.
312.
It's higher than 372.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
It's in the Guinness Book of World Records, according to this.
452.
33. Pretty good. 433.
There was a saying when I was growing up that he broke every bone in his body except his neck bone.
You know, it says the fractures affected 35 different bones, most of which, obviously, if you do the math, were broken multiple times. In 1971, he said he was turned down 37 times by Lloyd's of London. 4 years later, they offered him a one-day, $1 million liability insurance policy for $17,500. He turned them down and paid $2,500 to a U.S. company.
I worked with him eons ago once. He was doing a Verner's commercial in town. He and Robbie were shooting a commercial, and I can't remember the line, but it was like, there was a spider on Robbie, and neither one of them wanted to flick it off because they were afraid. But that was the gag about the... I know,
boy, you're old.
Robbie Knievel. Verner's.
They'll jump over Snake River Canyon, but not flick off a spider.
I remember that.
Gosh. And then if Dan Knievel was here, I'm sure he'd probably tell you about his little Evel Knievel doll and the van that came with it, too. So
I said something today in class about a student said, I'm so excited, and I'm continuing the song in my head.
And nobody knew what you were talking about.
So I love the Pointer Sisters. Who? And I'm like, okay, great. Thanks for making me feel old.
How helpful.
Unbelievable.
And I just can't hide it.
It's a great song.
Which state of the Union holds the record for the highest temperature ever officially recorded in the United States?
Arizona?
Nevada?
California?
California.
That seemed too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
10 July 1913, it hit 134 measured degrees Fahrenheit. It's also the official highest temperature ever recorded in the Western Hemisphere of the Earth. In second place is, I think it was Heather, Arizona?
No, that was Beth.
No, it was in Diane Manica's kitchen.
In the oven.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Lake Havasu City, Arizona, which in 1994 hit 128 degrees Fahrenheit.
But a dry heat.
Pretty darn toasty.
So you don't feel it.
That's where they had to buy the London Bridge.
Oh, yeah, it's over by the London Bridge, of course.
It would still make me crabby. As hot weather typically does. Oh,
hot weather is for the birds, as far as I'm concerned. What kind of creature is the world's smallest mammal?
Shrew?
You know, I would have thought that, but that's not what it says here.
Dormouse?
No. Nope. If you guys can get the general, you know, like animal area
so
on this correct.
It's
going to
be a rodent, I would assume.
It's definitely related to rodents.
A vole? A shrew?
It's a flying rodent.
A bat?
It's a bat.
Ooh.
Smallest mammal in the world is a bumblebee bat.
Cute.
Weighing in at 2 grams. So just to give you an idea, the way I always learned how to estimate mass was 2 small paper clips. Each one weighs about a gram. So that's
okay. All right.
1 to 1.3 inches in length and about the size of a bumblebee.
Does it say where they frequent?
I believe it says, ooh, in Thailand.
Yeah, it figures.
Mm-hmm. It's also known as the hognose bat because of its pink pig-like snout. It's so small, you might actually confuse one for a bumblebee if it went buzzing by your ear.
Ew.
So cute.
That is really small.
I want one.
We got visited by some when we were on a family vacation in Lake Shasta.
Bats or that particular kind of bat?
Bats. In California. Ick.
I like bats. I have a bat box.
They eat the mosquitoes in your backyard.
Yes, I have a bat box.
Oh, yeah. You need bats.
So. They mostly went after my sister, so that was
I love them. I think they're so cool.
Bats are cool.
They're like rats with wings.
At night, at twilight, they're flying around. It's so cool.
But they at least eat mosquitoes, like Jim said.
I get excited.
Give them the choice.
Seriously.
Take a bat.
They're so
cool. They chow down on those mosquitoes.
Okay. Yeah, they do.
We need to get Heather a stuffed bat for Halloween.
Yes. We'll do.
Halloween, just for any day.
Just for any day, like right now.
It's for bat day.
Where's my bat?
Is it bat day? Oh, my gosh, I'm not even ready.
Every day is bat day.
The lawman brother of what notorious gangster served as a presidential bodyguard?
Ooh.
What a great question.
Billy the Kid. Do we need the gangster here?
Yeah, we're looking for the gangster.
Dillinger?
I can tell you that it was this gangster's older brother, James, was the bodyguard for President Calvin Coolidge.
Al Capone?
It was Capone, yeah.
Okay.
Al Capone, okay. Yeah. James served in the 1927 summer White House in the Black Hills of South Dakota, where he had been working as a special agent for the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs, as it was known at the time.
Yeah.
Years earlier, James had settled in Nebraska, where he changed his name to Richard Hart and served as the town marshal, state sheriff, and prohibition enforcement officer. There we go.
I wonder...
There we go.
Why did he have to change his name?
I don't know, but if you're related to Al Capone...
I wouldn't want the name Capone. I thought it was like further...
I'm kidding.
Back.
Mm-hmm.
Like Billy the Kid or Butch Cassidy. Or
right. Very, very funny. It's just like, okay, I'm going in witness protection, essentially, personal witness protection. I can choose any name I want. Richard Hart is probably at the bottom of the list for me. I'm just putting it out there.
Why?
I don't know. It's too general. It's like Steve Taylor or something like that. It's like,
Jim Smith or something. Yeah.
John Smith.
Yeah,
there
it's,
you go.
It's like,
there you go.
You know, having a name like Hitler or something.
What would your alias be?
I don't know.
Adolf Mussolini.
Hercules Q. Rockefeller.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ulysses.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I'm your host, Edwin DeWint, and today we have almost all the regular panel with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, man. Pleasure to be here, as always.
Wow. That's the first variation in decades, yeah. I think.
Oh, no, I've been working up to it.
Okay, all right.
First the mustache, then pleasure to be here. What's next?
Yes. And as always. On his right, the woman he can't keep his hands off, the Department of English, Professor Claire Crabtree.
What can I say to follow that up?
I don't know.
Hello.
Say it was okay.
Yeah.
There are people out there waiting to hear.
Was it good for you?
And on Claire's right from the Department of History.
I didn't know any of you.
Professor Sarah Gravel. And on Sarah's right from the Department of English, also Professor Hugh Kulig.
Well, I will just say hello and leave it at that.
I think that's the wisest
You've done
thing.
Enough damage. It was because of you that we were whispering.
Oh.
These were quotations, and you were to guess who said them. Who said, "Never lend your car to anyone to whom you have given birth."
Irma Bombeck.
Yes, Irma Bombeck, exactly. Philip Roth is a good writer, but I wouldn't want to shake hands with him. Who said that?
Somebody after putting on his complaint.
Exactly. And who was it? It was a woman.
Figures it would be a woman.
A writer. A writer of schlock, basically, now deceased. One of her novels was just reproduced by a computer, or a new novel.
Somebody's writing in the style of. Yeah, you call it style.
Exactly.
Well, she's not known to have shaken hands with anybody.
No.
Who owned the yellow 1957 Chevy Bel Air convertible decorated with orange flames that was pictured in Time and Newsweek magazines in October of 1975? And you all should know this, just letting you know.
Who owned it?
Elvis Presley.
Pictures of the convertible, this person's first car, were the inspiration for the songs Born to Run, Jungle Land, and
Bruce.
Racing in the Street.
Bruce
yes.
Springsteen.
The Boss. Oh. The Boss, yes.
Wait, were the inspirations to tell me the songs again?
Born to Run, Jungle Land, and Racing in the Street.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this accompanied the Time and Newsweek cover stories 27 of October 1975, shortly after the release of the celebrated Born to Run album and single. Mm-hmm. What popular children's toy, to the dismay of anti-smoking activists, originally came packaged with a miniature tobacco pipe?
Candy cigarettes?
Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Potato Head had a pipe.
Oh, that's
absolutely
right.
Okay, so let's see if we can do this. In what year did they say no more pipe as part of the toy?
82.
Pretty close.
I'd say 84.
87 is what I was. 87, yeah.
The same year they stopped selling candy cigarettes?
Very similar,
probably.
Right? Very similar. That was the U.S. Surgeon General, was it? C. Everett Koop? Yeah. Yes, at that time, yep.
Boy, those candy cigarettes had so much sugar in them, they made your teeth itch.
Itch?
Yes.
Itch.
Oh, my gosh, I love it. I love it. I'm going to try to wrap my head around my teeth itching.
I know exactly the sensation you're referring to here.
It was because you wanted the coolness of blowing and getting the sugar to come off like a puff of smoke, but mostly I would inhale and be like,
yes,
getting all the sugar.
On the powdered sugar.
Oh my gosh, so hilarious. Who was the first female speaker of the U.S. House?
Nancy Pelosi.
It was Pelosi, the 60th speaker.
From 2007
to 11, yes, it did.
Well, we may get her back
mm-hmm.
in 18 if the Democrats retake the House.
That's true. She's the only woman to have served as the House Speaker and essentially is the highest-ranking female politician in the history of the United States.
And the accomplishments, the legislative accomplishments under her speakership are amazing.
Kind of a big deal.
I mean, just the list of things Congress actually, you know,
mm-hmm.
their function of making the laws.
When they get around to it.
Haggling.
Other than holding committee hearings to excoriate their political opponents.
Well, what's the fun of having political power if you can't use it to go after your opponents? That's how we do it in America.
That's how we do it now.
Yeah.
To what landmass was the island of Madagascar most recently attached? I love the phrasing of the question.
India?
It was India, yeah, absolutely. Madagascar broke away from it about 88 million years ago.
Oh, just yesterday. I remember it in being in the news.
Well, in the span of Earth history, I suppose.
Just yesterday.
That is true. Scale matters.
Once we get rid of the Earth is only 6,000 years old or whatever.
I just got a text message from Al Fresco to say hi to the ATP crew.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Al.
How's it going? Mm. Oh, no response.
Oh, not
no,
yet.
No response.
So it says here that Madagascar is the fourth largest island in the world. I'm wondering, turning this into a question, could you name the three islands that are bigger than Madagascar?
Greenland.
Well, Australia is
Greenland's
one of them.
Number one, and Australia is not counting on this list.
Okay.
So Greenland's number one.
Iceland?
Nope.
No, it's not bigger.
Can't be England.
No.
That's pretty small. Mm-mm. Ireland? No.
What else is bigger?
Ireland.
So the second one is New Guinea.
Oh, okay.
And the third one starts with a B.
Borneo?
Borneo is the third largest island.
I can't believe those are bigger than Madagascar.
They are. They are bigger
Greenland,
than
Greenland, yes.
But yeah, but they're not in the game of Risk.
That's true.
It's either Kamchatka or nothing.
Yeah. The beetles alone on Madagascar, or whatever insect they have that's like 8 billion times normal size. Is it beetles?
Whatever it is, bugs creep me out.
They greet you before they eat you.
Well, I don't want to make friends with it either.
I was just reading an article in the New Yorker about stink bugs that apparently are invading the United States.
Oh, my.
Oh, they're already here.
I think they're enrolling in my classes.
My house is being invaded by ants at the moment. It's really, really annoying.
Wow, they really want to get out there, don't
Sugar
they?
Sugar ants or Jeez. Bigger ants?
I don't know.
Oh, you meant like bugs, right? Not like, okay, female relatives.
Not relatives.
You need bats.
Yeah.
You do need bats.
Actually, Bally's happy to eat the ants.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, my Lord.
If they happen to be on the carpet.
If they present themselves.
That's right.
And she doesn't have to move.
No, Bally's not a bat, by the way. It's a cat. I know. I'm letting our listeners know.
Jim has met her.
What common career studies did Charles Darwin, John Keats, and Giorgio Armani abandon to follow the interests that led each of them to fame in different fields?
Literature.
Not philosophy.
Literature. That's great. Not
arm
philosophy,
wrestling.
Not arm wrestling.
History.
Religion.
That's a good guess, but no. It's a religion to some.
It's a religion to some.
Religion to some. Jim, help
us out.
I
would say science, except...
Pretty close.
Darwin is...
Chemistry.
Political science?
Sociology.
Physics. Is it a science? It's a natural science.
I would say it's a natural science.
Get their CV.
Well, we're
pretty. You would say it's natural science.
Okay. No, you're reading too much into it. It's medicine. They were all studying medicine.
Oh, okay.
All three left med school.
Yeah, it's an applied science.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, okay. And like engineering.
Yeah.
Darwin went on to found modern evolutionary biology, Keats to write poetry, and Armani, of course, to be a fashion designer.
Yeah, poor Darwin. He just had to settle for one of the big three intellectual revolutions of the 19th century. So sad.
Oh, well. Poor Armani. He just made millions. Yeah, life is rough.
I was about to say, like, you know, Darwin, you know, had this fantastic career after that. I don't know if evolutionary biology is that different than medicine, but if Stephanie were here, she'd probably hit me on the head. Which is the only U.S. state to have its official motto in French. Dun, dun, dun.
Louisiana?
It's not Louisiana, although that would be my guess immediately. I'll tell you what it is in French. L'Etoile du Nord, the North Star.
Minnesota?
Minnesota is the North Star state.
Minnesota.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It was chosen by the state's first governor, Henry Hastings Sibley, and adopted in 1861, 3 years after their admission to the Union. It was thought that Sibley was paying symbolic tribute to the French missionaries, traders, and explorers that centuries ago entered that territory.
Speaking of Louisiana, how was New Orleans, Dr. Mayo?
It was a lot of fun. Even though I did nothing fun when I was there, the students had a lot of fun.
Oh.
I had to go to 10-hour meetings for 4 days.
You didn't have to go bail any of the kids out or anything like that?
I didn't have to bail any kids out. We were there over St. Patrick's Day.
Oh,
kind of a big deal. Went to the ACS meeting. It was, I will leave it at this for those of you who have never been to New Orleans. It's a wonderful place. I think I gained 25 pounds, and I was happy to do it because it was the most wonderful food ever.
So you did eat.
I did eat. Oh, I ate.
Did you go to the Café du Monde to have
Café du
beignets?
Had some beignets, some chicory coffee.
Nothing better in
the... I'm not even a coffee drinker, and it tasted so good. But I asked my one student who clearly was stepping outside of her general regular comfort zone what Bourbon Street was like on a Saturday night of the NCAA tournament as St. Patrick's Day. And she sort of like darted her head around and said, filth.
Okay.
That was the only word she could get out. I'm like, that's pretty good.
It's pretty crazy.
It's pretty nuts.
Well, if you had to encapsulate into one word, that'd be a good one.
He's like, we had to get the one guy back to his hotel room so he could change his shoes. I'm like, I bet you did.
At least he still had shoes.
Partial credit. A statue of what famous statesman stands with one foot on U.S. soil and the other on British embassy grounds in Washington, D.C.? This is wonderful. This is a great piece of trivia.
Churchill.
It's Churchill. Yeah, that makes perfect
sense.
Because
his mom, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had an American mother and a British father. Oh, that's so
awesome. I love Jenny Jerome.
We watched The Darkest Hour last night, Drew and I.
Oh, and I was going to ask, who's seen it?
Really? Well, and we just watched Dunkirk, right? So it was great to watch the two. Oh, it was amazing.
And Gary Oldman just does a fantastic job.
He just nailed Churchill. Yeah.
I finally, a few weeks ago, saw Get Out, and I'm so happy that I did. Not to say that that has anything to do with Churchill or Gary Oldman, but they were all on, like, the best movie list, you know? So
Think about some of the roles that he's had over the years.
Get Out, the horror movie by Jordan Peele from last fall. You should see it.
You haven't seen it yet?
You should see it.
I heard it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good.
You need to see it.
Think about some of the roles that he's had over the years.
Gary Oldman
is like the actor's actor,
he's
right?
a chameleon, I mean, practically. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's done, was it Sid and Nancy?
Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon.
Batman,
yeah.
Dracula.
Yeah, uh-huh, Dracula.
He was in the Coppola, mm-hmm. Francis Ford Coppola, yeah. Dracula. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking of that movie the other day, because someone said the letter D out loud, and I remember him like speak talking the letter that he sent Harker, and he's like, sincerely D. That's how he signed the letter.
Yeah, and Keanu Reeves was
oh, that was
painful.
Oh, that was rough.
Right? He attempted the British accent
again. Bats. See, it all comes back to bats.
Think about the contrast right there.
It all comes back
more
to bats.
Oh, you're
bats.
So right. Bats and Dracula, Batman.
It's baseball.
Bats are where we are.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the theme.
Bats in our belfry. I mean,
so these have been some great questions, Kimberly. This is the
last
one.
Awesome.
This is pretty sweet, I got to say. How did the mayor of Vilnius, Lithuania, dramatically announce his planned 2011 crackdown on illegal parking? Must be a big deal in Lithuania. Small country.
I'm picturing he was probably in a tank and he ran somebody over.
That is exactly what he did. He appeared in a video in which he drove an armored personnel carrier over a Mercedes that was currently parked in a bike lane.
Why doesn't that sound...
That's pretty hardcore.
Whoa!
Oh, my gosh. The city had purchased the Mercedes secondhand for the stunt. Well, that's too bad.
I hope third or fourth hand.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Apparently, they take parking very seriously in the Baltic.
In Vilnius.
Yes, they do. Oh, my gosh.
Well, their parking was built for horses, so...
And there's that. So that's the thing.
Parking built for horses? Is that
what
it was?
Well, it makes the clamshell seem kind of tame now, doesn't it?
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. The time has come to say goodbye, Heather.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Jim.
Bye.
Beth.
Every day should be bat day.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed today at the facilities of the University Library on the McNichols campus of the University of Detroit Mercy. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.